Psalm 60. Well, the title of this is that it's a teaching poem by David, so we're to learn from it when he fought with the Syrians and Joab returned and killed 12,000 of Edom in the Valley of Salt. Well, that campaign with Edom had a big setback, and this psalm laments that God did not go out with their armies and they were defeated, and they fled before their enemies, which is the punishment for breaking covenant with God. Verse 3, you've shown your people hard things. You've made us drink the wine that makes us stagger. So they had a setback, and yet they did win the battle eventually, or the campaign eventually. And verse 12, he rejoices through God, we shall do valiantly, it is he who will tread down our adversaries. So he accepts that God has won the battle, and yet they lost the first encounter, because God was not with them. They had sinned in some way. We don't know all the details. But what I want to focus upon is verse 3. You've made us drink the wine that makes us stagger. Now, to be given a cup of wine from God is a double symbol. It is, as here, the symbol of condemnation. Remember how Babylon is given a cup of wine to drink. And it's quite common that to be given a cup of wine to drink from God is a sign of condemnation. And yet, it is also, as Paul develops in 1 Corinthians, a sign of blessing, the cup of blessing which we bless. This is the sign of being in covenant with God. So it's a double symbol. And I think the breaking of bread is structured in the way that it is so that we take that cup of wine and think, is this to my condemnation or to my eternal blessing? And that's why Paul says, do not drink, be careful that you do not drink condemnation to yourself, but that you drink blessing. And so the breaking of bread brings us up against a sort of a T-junction, where you can either go one way or the other. And you reflect, do you not, that my final destiny will be to the right or to the left. There is no middle point. There is either condemnation to an eternal death or eternal life. And it's good that we are brought up against that reality when we break bread. When you stand before the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as you reconstruct it all in your own mind, and you stand there and he catches your eye, as it were. Shall I be saved or shall I die forever? This is the question, and we need to face that question. We need to be spiritual realists and not put that ultimate question to the back of our mind all the time and allow other things to come in and cloud our vision. Because by God's grace, we should be able to say, yes, this is the cup of blessing which I bless, which I take with gladness and with thankfulness. That's the idea of blessing. And so they were brought up before this reality. They were condemned. They suffered the punishment of breaking the covenant. They fled before their enemies. God was on the side of their enemies to start with, but they changed. They changed the outcome because they repented and God gave them the victory. And so they drank, as it were, the cup of blessing now after the victory rather than the cup of condemnation. That means, therefore, that in this life you can be condemned, but you can change the verdict. Now, this gives a huge intensity to human life. Because can you imagine coming to the final day of judgment and the Lord says, I'm sorry, but to the left-hand side with you. You simply did not have the love. You did not have the forgiveness. You did not have the love of me. Who are you? I don't know you. Go away. To condemnation. And we say, oh, but Lord, please, could you change? Please, yes, yes, I accept all that. Please, could you just change? Could you let me in your kingdom? And imagine him saying, oh, okay. Yeah, all right, yeah, okay, fine. Okay, yeah, so it's changed. Okay, yeah, let's stop walking away there to the left-hand side. Go to the right-hand side. You're like, oh, thank you, Lord. But, you know, that, although that's not going to be the case at the last day, because that is not how it's going to be when we stand before Jesus, that can happen in this life. You can be condemned now, but change the outcome. And this is what Paul is saying in Romans 1-8. That we stand in the dock before God and we are condemned as terrible sinners and we are judged. But the verdict is, as it were, changed and we leave the courtroom not just let off, but justified as righteous. You think of Peter when he denied the Lord. He went out and wept bitterly in the darkness. That's the very language of condemnation. He was, as it were, condemned, but he repented and changed the outcome. And he talks in his letters about the condemned, how they will even deny the Lord who bought them. Well, who denied the Lord who bought him? It was Peter himself. So he's alluding to that, and he's saying, look, you know, you can deny the Lord that bought you and be condemned, as I was, but whilst you're alive, whilst life goes on, you can change the outcome. This, then, is the intensity of our situation. And when you grasp that intensity, all else, your career, your family situation, all where you live and all the stuff that goes to make up life, all this stuff becomes very much inconsequential, because I have been condemned before God for my sin, but he changed the verdict. We've passed from that darkness of condemnation to the light of acceptance. Now, this is, well, beyond words to explain the intensity of this. Now, you'll only get to appreciate that if you realize that you have indeed sinned, that really and truly I should be condemned. If you've gone through the path of logic of Romans 1-8, that, yep, I stand on the dock and am condemned as a terrible sinner. If you're not going to accept that, if you're caught up with this postmodern idea that I am a wonderful person, and don't talk to me about sinning, and don't tell me that I displease God, and don't tell me that I'm worthy of condemnation, well, the gospel then will not be for you, because you will not see the good news that that is how you are, but that was changed. But there must come, first of all, that conviction of sin that will lead to humility and will lead to this ecstatic joy that the outcome has changed. And here in this Old Testament example, you see this. They went to fight against Edom and they were defeated. There was this big reversal. They broke on the covenant. They were chased by their enemies, etc. But they repented and then they won because they were given the blessings of obedience to the covenant. So the condemnation was, as it were, reversed. And that is what goes on in our lives.